This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. April is a significant month for many faiths. Christians recently observed Easter. Passover was celebrated in the Jewish community. Sikhs celebrated Vaisakhi, and this week marks the start of Ramadan, observed by Muslims. During the pandemic, places of worship have been challenged to practice their faith in ways that don't involve physical gatherings. Some religious institutions in the U.S. have defied social distancing mandates and continued to hold in-person services. Some states have even included exceptions from the stay-at-home order for places of worship. But here in Wisconsin, some faith leaders have come out in support of Governor Evers' order. According to a release from the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee, they've, quote, chosen to demonstrate our love of neighbors by closing our doors during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Interfaith Conference's Executive Director Pardeep Kalika joins Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk about this situation. They're also joined by Ahmed Qureshi of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee, Rabbi Hannah Wallach from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, and the Right Reverend Stephen Andrew Miller, the Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Milwaukee. Bishop Miller begins by explaining how they're demonstrating faith and encouraging others.
Well, the first thing I would say that we've done is to really focus on staying at home, because that's one way that we love our neighbor, which is common to all of our Christian traditions. So first and foremost, it's been that. And I believe it was that unified statement of the Interfaith Council that led to this interview today.
So Rabbi Hannah, and you know, we just had Passover, and you know, like Stephen said, we also had a stay-at-home policy throughout our community, all segments, you know, unaffiliated, Reform to Orthodox. Our institutions were closed. We made sure that people had small seders with only their immediate family with whom they were sheltering in place. But a lot of people decided to use Zoom as their method for having a seder with their out-of-town relatives. And I heard a lot of great stories about how and creative uses of Zoom during their seders.
This is Ahmed Qureshi, Islamic Society of Milwaukee. So like other faith groups, we ourselves have also had to close all of our worship places in the greater Milwaukee area, and in fact, across the state of Wisconsin as well. We are concerned, of course, not only for our own congregants, but for the concern for our entire community about spreading this virus around something that we believe strongly has to be stopped. I mean, in fact, the Islamic prophetic tradition includes a statement that a person who is at a place where there is a plague or an illness should not go away from that place, nor should they go towards a place of plague itself. I would also indicate, and all of us on this interview today are part of various interfaith organizations. The Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee prepared a joint prayer or reflection, which is now up on its website, in which various faith leaders composed prayers praying for the relief and recovery from this coronavirus illness disease that is going around.
With government leaders across the country questioning the constitutionality of shutting down churches and other places of worship or attempting to reopen churches for holidays, how has this messaging concerned you? And personally, there's been a lot of developments. Things continue to change. But has your view of the situation changed as things have developed?
Pardeep Kalika from the Interfaith Conference. You know, physically, I think just this, the seriousness of COVID-19 has really hit us, and I think it's felt much longer than a month, but it's really been a month since we've been taking measures to create safety. But this has created a physical, mental, and spiritual toll on us all. And, you know, I think what is coming to the surface really clearly is the inequities that exist and have existed for a very long time. around race, class, poverty. And right now, with all of that being understood, what else is being understood is the true nature of people. And some people will go into a place where they seek safety because of fear, and they become preservationists because of fear. They retreat into whomever I, my, we is. But yet at the same time, there's also other people who have dedicated their life to service and really go above and beyond for outreach and dedicate their life to faith. And, you know, we're surrounded by three amazing leaders who have gone above and beyond and really have embraced this as not just a time where we're going through this tragedy together, but what is our spiritual journey through all of this? And I think because of that leadership, we'll come out of this much better than we went in.
Sure. Bishop Miller from the Episcopal Diocese. The interfaith letter came out of a response I wrote to State Senator Craig about 3 weeks earlier. And I reminded the senator in that letter that the church is about community and loving our neighbor. And that's our first care. And so the decision that we made as Episcopalians, that the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, the Roman Catholic Church, made, it really was out of that sense of religious freedom. And what is essential for us is that faith is about loving our neighbor first and foremost. So I suspect even if the stay-at-home order had not been issued, the Diocese of Milwaukee, the Episcopal Diocese, would have shut down its services, because that was the wise, healthy, and safe thing to do. And I think the political leaders need to worry about doing their job in this pandemic and not try and do the job of religious leaders. Certainly, this is a much busier time for us. Our diocese is putting on a diocesan-wide worship service via StreamYard every Sunday, and churches are supplementing that with Bible studies and coffee hours. And it's been a time of great creativity and opportunity. But I would really hope that the government folks would look particularly at making sure that basic human needs are met, doing something to stop the increased gun sales, which are rampant across this country, which is just going to result in more guns in homes. We need to remember that freedom is always freedom for others, not freedom from things.
I can just say, you know, the Jewish community really acted with one mind in Milwaukee, which is different actually from other Jewish communities. But the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, you know, right away we connected with all of our organizations and nonprofits and synagogues across the community to make sure that we were of one mind. For Judaism, the highest commandment is called pikuach nefesh, which is saving a life. You can even not do other commandments in order to save a life. So with COVID-19, it was clear that, you know, keeping physical distancing was the way that we could save lives. And we were lucky that we were all of one mind. Right now, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation has been reorganizing to serve need. First, there was an immediate need that people didn't have access to kosher for Passover food like they usually would have. You know, usually people drive down to Chicago and, you know, go out and get everything they need for Passover. We had to make sure that people had Passover food. Also, you know, obviously our whole country is suffering financially. And so now we're reorganizing to make sure that people have access to immediate needs, including loans, including funds for bills that need to be paid, and really trying to reorganize to serve every aspect of our community, not just the spiritual life.
For our four major faiths, you know, this is the month for Passover, for Easter, for Ramadan, for Vaisakhi. We knew that going into this was going to be a tough month for all of our communities. And as far as coming back to faith, for all of us interfaith leaders, the value for life and human dignity is at the utmost of concern. And I think right now we have to ask, if there are people who are encouraging people to go back to normal, and we have the danger of reverting back and endangering people's lives. And that is your leadership. And they're speaking up and saying, go ahead and go back to normal because of economy's sake or because of something else. We really have to question why we hold that leadership and why we respect them. And do they really care about us? And I think right now is a telling time for a lot of people on who responsible, what responsible leadership actually looks like.
A lot of people in congregations, they look to you as leaders, as sources of comfort, as voices of their religions. How do you feel as faith leaders right now? I imagine you're figuring out all the technological alternatives to hosting services and all of these other things. But do you feel extra burdens that are really challenging you? Or where are you trying to focus your energy now that your physical situations are different?
So our religious leadership has emphasized education about what the teachings are applicable to the situation that we're in. There's no doubt that the Islamic faith, just like other faiths, has a strong preference to do things as a community, to worship in congregation, to attend services, to attend our special holidays and celebrate as a community. And these are all sacrifices that the leadership has to ask the community members to understand and to make. So again, it's the emphasis on even saving a human life. If one can even save a single person, it is if they have saved all of humanity. It's the same teaching that is in the Jewish Christian faith as well as an Islamic tradition as well. And I think that people have come to understand that they just want to be reassured by the leadership that the decision is being taken based on sound religious principles. And so we seek to clearly convey that and the importance of following these rules that our governmental leaders are asking us, social distancing, trying to be safe, behave safely with each other.
Something that the rabbis in our community, we usually meet once a month, but since the crisis hit, we've actually been meeting once a week. And last week we had two psychiatrists come onto our call and give us some really important advice. You know, there's a increase in anxiety, increase in depression, an increase in senses of loneliness and isolation. And they gave us some practical tools to help with that. And also a reminder that spiritual leaders need to nourish themselves as well so that they can minister to the community. And one thing that the rabbis of the community did before Passover is we all made a video together to wish everybody a happy Passover. And the psychiatrist said that something, an effort like that, that helps people feel part of a community is a really important tool to help with feeling isolated and lonely. And they asked if we could put out a message all together every week. I don't know if we're going to be able to quite follow through on that, but you know, we have some celebrations ahead of us that we might also put out some communal messages. And so I think any effort like that to remind people they may be alone in their homes, but they're still part of a community, a larger community.
This is Bishop Stephen. I would echo that. Certainly, I'm very grateful for the people and particularly the clergy of my diocese who are a lot more tech savvy than I am, as we do a diocesan-wide service every Sunday. What I'm finding is that we're building community in new ways. And the other thing that we're beginning to see is people who have been on the fringes of our faith communities through these Zoom meetings and Zoom Bible studies and Zoom coffee hours, they're getting reconnected, which is really exciting for us because it's I think things like this remind people of how important faith is. I see it not unlike when I was a priest in Northern Virginia, 10 miles from the Pentagon on September 11th. The next day we had 400 people as part of a worship service when we normally worshiped about 150. So I think this is a time of real opportunity. I think certainly as a bishop in the church, my job is to care for the clergy and people of my diocese. Our clergy are meeting weekly, and I'm spending a lot of time making individual phone calls, just checking on how folks are doing, because that's my role in a diocesan system. But it certainly is as busy as I have ever been in ordained ministry.
I think Bishop Miller makes a really important point in terms of new opportunities that are coming out of this situation as well. We've had the same experience, you know, record numbers at virtual synagogue attendance. One of our community educators, Jody Hirsch, teaches a class. He's a wonderful teacher. He's never had so many people attend his classes as have been attending virtually. So when we get to reopen, I think that these are some ideas that we need to bring forward with us.
So all in all, it sounds like just because we're practicing socially distancing doesn't necessarily mean it's spiritual distancing.
Not at all.
Let me just add this. This is Ahmed Qureshi. The Islamic holidays of the month of Ramadan, they begin on April 23rd and they'll go until May 24th. And it is a time of month when there's traditionally people are gathering together to break the fast. Some communal gatherings involve hundreds of people. 1,000 people or more may attend the night prayer. And it is a huge issue in our community that they're going to be asked to sacrifice this, just like my Jewish and Christian brothers and sisters had to make that sacrifice during Passover and Easter as well. And as long, and probably many other party mentioned the Sikh holiday, which occurred earlier this week as well. And so we might lose in our short-term view of things, though we're going to miss this, but we just have to keep in mind that there is a greater goal and a greater good to be served here. And if we can keep that in mind, we will be much better off in our mental framework towards the sacrifice that we are being asked to make as faith groups.
Pardeep.
Yeah, Ahmed touches on a really important point, and so does Bishop Miller and Rabbi Wallach. I think just right now, we will be going through this, and this will be a tough time for us going forward. And so it will be for the world. This is a pandemic, and it's affecting people and obviously exposing lots of inequities. We have the relative privilege in this country to not work for $1 or $2 per day and not to have our economic life just kind of upheavaled. But I think what we can do for the world is the people of faith know sacrifice. We know suffering. We know compassion, and we know kindness. What we can do right now is just to develop a closer bond with one another. And maybe that's what all of this is all about, is to develop a real interconnected bond, bringing us closer when we come out of this, so that we can heal. Because that's going to be another part of this, is to, we're not going to come out of this and just go back to normal. And maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we shouldn't go back to whatever that normal was, but to learn from this and build future generations who will take those inequities much more seriously than we took them.
Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski spoke with Pardeep Kalika, the executive director of the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. They were also joined by Bishop Stephen Miller, Ahmed Qureshi of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee, and Rabbi Hannah Wallach. You're listening to Lake Effect on Milwaukee's NPR.